Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Come and get it! Come and get it, dinner!
You know, family dinners have a way of being about everything but the food. In the movies, family dinners often bring out the best in people, like this one from the film August Osage County.
Mom needs her lunch, please.
I'm not hungry.
You didn't eat today, you didn't eat anything yesterday.
I'm not hungry.
You're eating. Do what I say. Everyone, do what I say.
Or this one from House Party.
Vita told me you were down home, folk. So I thought we'd have a little soul food dinner, something I know you people would like.
I don't care what you serve, long as it ain't Cajun.
The food looks great, Mom.
After these scenes, who would ever do anything but grab some cold leftovers from the fridge and run back to the bedroom? Someone please give me a suggestion for making family dinner conversation tolerable.
Tell me two truths and a lie about something that happened today. Or tell me a rose, a thorn, and a bud about your day. A rose is something funny or positive. A thorn is something difficult. And a bud is something that you hope will happen tomorrow.
I mean, that certainly beats the what did you do in school today question.
It really does.
I got some real practical advice the other day from Anne Fischel, the director of the Family and Couples Therapy Program at Mass General Hospital, and co-founder of the 15-year-old Family Dinner Project. The project is a scientific approach to something I've even noticed in my big family. Family dinner is not about insults and wounding. It can be about real healing.
When families have regular family dinners and they have interesting conversations, mental health benefits and the other benefits just come along for the ride. There have been 20 years of research that's really quite astounding, showing all these benefits. I mean, for example, the conversation that we have it at the dinner is a better vocabulary booster even than reading out loud to young kids. Regular family dinners are associated with high achievement, even more so than doing homework or doing sports. Without even trying hard, the family dinners are lower in calories and lower in fat and sugar and salt than restaurant meals. And I think because of this, kids who have regular family dinners tend not to be obese and even to grow up to be young adults who continue to eat healthily. And then there are all the mental health benefits, lower rates of high-risk teenage behaviors like substance abuse and teenage pregnancy and tobacco use and depression and anxiety. I mean, I do joke that if families had regular family dinners, I could be out of business because isn't this exactly what I try to do as a family therapist?
Do you think that this works in families where there are all kinds of issues of timing and socioeconomic stress and, you know, places where there are food deserts where you wouldn't have access to the kinds of high nutrition foods? Or is it just work in, you know, in the Leave It to Beaver setting?
This is certainly not Leave It to Beaver propaganda. You know, I'm not talking about a 1950s idealized mother in the kitchen, spotless stove, and so on. Of course, kids in low-income families are eating fewer family dinners than they did 15 years ago, and high-income kids are eating more. So this is a worrisome sign of economic disparity. But I think family dinner is really for all people, and no matter what the income level, the obstacles are often the same, and that is time. You know, everybody is reporting that they're feeling overscheduled and too busy. And I think there are many ways that we can get around that creatively. Breakfast works, a planned family snack where everybody comes together and stops doing their homework and has a healthy snack together and talks and feels engaged with one another. So we don't have to be wedded to it being dinner. Really, any meal that kids feel that they have a chance to talk about what's on their minds and parents are listening and there's laughter, this can be achieved in any kind of family. with the Family Dinner Project, we have resources online that are available for free for families that give ideas about meals that are very inexpensive to make, meals that can be made with things that you have on hand. So I think there are lots of ways that dinner can be and must be accessible to families of all income levels.
Scientifically, it's striking how settled a question this is, in that each study produces very positive results, and really, it's not nuanced. It's a big gain that you get from this. And I'm just wondering why, prior to your synthesis of all of this, wasn't this as well known? Wasn't this as, recommended and talked about as a therapeutic solution until you came along?
That's an interesting question, John. I really don't know why it hasn't been more widely promulgated as an idea. There may have been a little bit of a cloud over family dinner, as we were talking about at the beginning, as a sort of throwback, old-fashioned idea. That's really too bad, because it has been so updated. And actually, I think of it as being part of making gender equity more possible. As we teach women to lean in at work, we can and should be teaching our sons to lean in the kitchen. And this is really a major change in family dinner. Men are cooking way more than they did 20 years ago. I think the latest statistic is that 42% of men are cooking. So I hope the message gets out that family dinners are really so beneficial and really not that hard to make happen.
Anne Fischel is director of the Family and Couples Therapy Program at Mass General Hospital and co-founder of the Family Dinner Project. She's the author of Home for Dinner, Mixing Food, Fun, and Conversation for a Happier Family and Healthier Kids. Anne, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
You can find more of Anne's Family Dinner Games and a link to the Family Dinner Project at thetakeaway.org. There are lots of great tips in her book, Home for Dinner, Mixing Food, Fun, and Conversation for a Happier Family and Healthier Kids.
I'm Nicole from Tampa, Florida. Every Christmas, my great-aunt Violet brought her homemade wine, and I got to have a small glass of it. It was so sweet that it was like candy. Afterwards, she shouted about those dirty politicians, which I will never forget. She was a spitfire.
One memory is my dad teaching me to say butter in Portuguese, one of you from Austin, Texas. It sparked my love of languages, which continues today. And the word butter?
Manteiga.
Give us a call. Share your memories. The number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tell us a story. Much more at thetakeaway.org. Manteiga.
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 Manteiga.